I'm so glad I recorded Kyle saying I know every phone that's been made in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. We're going to test that.
Hello and welcome. I'm Jim.
I'm Rich.
And welcome to show number 24, recorded on September 29th, 2013. Here on Rich's Random Podcast Generator, we cover just about anything we want, from group hangout conversations to tech product reviews to interesting interviews, all tech, all the time, all posted over at theaverageguy.tv. You can contact Rich or me, send us an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv, or follow the show schedule on our Twitter account, @theaverageguy.tv. If you're new to listening to podcasts and looking for an easy way to listen each week, you might want to consider using Stitcher, and many of you have, available for both the Android and iPhone platforms. It's a great way to listen to podcasts both at home and on the road. Of course, this show and all the past shows are on Stitcher. Stitcher.com, search for Rich's Random. It's education. Even this show is education for your ears. We have all the links to automatically download or stream the audio or video podcast over to iTunes, YouTube, Zune, Stitcher. The new Xbox Music works as well on the Windows Phone, which we're going to talk about here shortly. And many other podcatcher applications are available right on the front page of theaverageguy.tv. Of course, you can always find us on YouTube, iTunes, Google+, or even Facebook. We have a good group going over there on Facebook. If you're listening to this show and you haven't joined us on Facebook, theaverageguy.tv/Facebook, and please leave some comments and likes and plus ones and votes and all those other things that help us in the social space. All right, Rich, we're together for another Rich's Random Podcast. We are a week separated from the September 21st, 2013 home service show Average Guy Surface Geeks meetup in Indianapolis, just in case someone listens to this time shifted, which they might. And we're back in, and you called me this morning and said, hey, let's talk about phones. So I'm going to throw it over to you.
Okay. Last week, I bought a Windows phone, a Lumia 928. Went to the meetup, Windows-centric meetup, and Dave McCabe, the father of us all, asked us about how many people had Windows Phone, and about half the room held it up. Now, that didn't influence me solely, but I was already leaning that way anyway. So my time to get a new phone, my time for upgrade was here. And so I went ahead, and when we went over to the Microsoft store, I went ahead and picked up a Lumia 928 for $0 plus a $50 rebate gift card, which I turned around and turned into a wireless charger. Awesome phone, beautiful phone. Started playing with it, started adding things, and then started noticing things slowly over the next couple of days. And it's gone now. I've sent it back, and I've canceled my Verizon contract. It was a Verizon contract, so I had 14 days to basically try it out and either trade it for something else or bring it back and cancel the contract. So that's what I did. Now I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to ask you guys to jump in. I'm going to tell you what I liked about it, and there's a number of things, but probably the top three things are the screen is absolutely beautiful. Hold it outside, side by side with my S2, my old Galaxy S2, and I mean it's like looking at a newspaper versus looking at a very dim screen. It's very easy to read in the sun. There's an app on there called Nokia Hear Drive, and the navigation app, it's the best navigation app I've ever seen. It's cues right on time with when to turn. As you go past the different speed limit signs, it is changing. As you go by, it's telling you how fast you're going, and it gives you a little alarm, unless you disable it, that you are, of course, breaking the law, which everybody does, except for you guys. So that was the Nokia Drive app. And then Nokia Music. I can't understand how they did this, but the app lets you start streaming music mixes that are free to stream. And, you know, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I am surprised because, I mean, there's such a big brouhaha these days about, you know, DRM protected music and, you know, you know, the whole music scene is just like, it's like it's gold, and anybody that even thinks about stealing music is, which you shouldn't steal, I'm not saying you should, but, you know, it's such a big, you know, to do. So I'm surprised they're giving away music, and that was the cool part. The cons were no Dropbox, the screen, I couldn't stop it from rotating, I couldn't lock it, no Google Plus Hangout, so I couldn't do one of these on that phone. And I'm sure there was two others that I can't think of right off the bat. But so in a quick summary of that, Rich, I would just say that I was really disappointed. Yeah, Jim, what's that?
Rich, I know for sure you didn't like the fact that you couldn't also do voice to text in Skype on the phone.
Yeah, and that one I really kind of, you know, it really was a head shaker for me because this is a Windows phone made by Microsoft. Skype is now a Microsoft entity. And the fact that you could pick up an iPhone or any Android phone and hit that little microphone and start doing voice to text in Skype, but yet you couldn't do that on the Lumia 928, just kind of, it was like, what the heck, you know? So the problem that about this is that I kept seeing little things here and there that I thought, wow, you know, where does this end? So regrettably, because the phone is fast too, I'll tell you, it's fast. It's very nice, very fast. It's got some cool features, but it's got, for me as a tech guy, it's got some key elements missing. And so that's where I'm at with that. And so tonight Jim and I were talking, and Jim said to me, you know, we got to bring in a guy that works at Best Buy and has been working there for a little while. And so we brought in Kyle Wilcox. Kyle, how you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yep.
So you've worked at Best Buy. Tell us a little bit about your Best Buy experience in the phone selling department.
I've been working there for 4 years, since 4 years ago in August. And when I started, I mean, I knew I had an interest in technology, and I really thought, oh, man, I want to work in the computer section, you know, and then they stuck me in cell phones, and that was, I mean, it was a blessing in multiple different ways, but it just turned into something that I'm super passionate about, and I probably would, you know, probably if I had to choose to spend my money between, like, upgrading my processor on my desktop or extra on a phone, you know, I'd probably still go for the computer parts, but being in the phone space, that's where all the growth is for the industry, and it's still super, you know, something I'm really passionate about. So it's been great experience, and that's what I've been doing for the last 4 years. So
I want to come back to you on that. Also joining us tonight, we have our friend PC Eddie, also known as Eddie Ramirez. Eddie, how you doing tonight? Are you muted?
Yep. Now I'm unmuting. I'm doing pretty good. Thanks, Rich, for inviting me. I appreciate it. Doing great.
Yeah, good. So what do you have for phone, Ed?
I use a Samsung S4. I've been an iPhone user since the original iPhone. Went in from the original iPhone to the iPhone 3GS, then to the 4S. Mm-hmm. But when I got to the 4S, I noticed the screen size is very small, and, you know, my eyes are getting old. And I wanted a bigger screen, and I never really played with an iPhone, so I decided to make the leap and went to an S4, 32 gig version.
Yeah. So I've yet to stick an SD card in this S4. So by the way, that's what I did. I brought the phone back, and I picked up a Galaxy S4, and we'll talk about that. I actually want to go back to Kyle. And did you want to say something about the idea of all the growth? You said all the growth in the industry is in phones. What were you referring to when you said that?
Well, I mean, just for, I think from a career perspective, for me, that was the better place to be in for sure. And just in the opportunities to be in the mobile side of the business has been way better for me. And I think, in any company, I mean, I think that, I mean, yeah, all these companies are still making computers, but, and some of them are still making money there, but the growth, whether it's Samsung or Apple or what Microsoft is trying to do there, you know, everything's going mobile, so that's just, I don't know if you had, if you were looking for something else specific there. Or...
No, that's what I thought. Well, that's kind of what I thought you were getting at, is that things are going mobile. So, and you can do so much more on your phones. It's pretty incredible. Jim, you were going to say something?
Well, you know, so Rich, in your experience with the, you know, with the 920, Kyle, I wanted to ask you, what are you seeing customers doing? You know, you see them all. I mean, you see all, right? Best Buy here in the U.S. does Sprint, Verizon, and AT&T, T-Mobile in the markets where that's available. Do you, what are you seeing around the Lumias, and are you seeing the same experience, the kind of stuff that Rich had?
Yeah, I mean, his experience is right on, but I mean, if your phone doesn't support Google Plus or Dropbox, and that's the app you have to have, I mean, what other option do you have? So, and the other thing that's, and I mean, some of this stuff I can say publicly is I got on Twitter and back in February, and I said, Ben the PC guy and Nokia and Microsoft, and just tweeted all of them, hey, I'm trying to sell your products in my store, and you won't even give me a display model to put this Lumia 822. The phone that I purchased for myself, I'm trying to sell it. I have the phone in stock. Like, they gave us the phone. Like, I didn't even think we were going to get the phone, mm-hmm. and they won't even give us a display model. So how am I going to sell that phone?
So did you see this? You're saying you saw discrimination against the Windows phone.
Well,
in your interpretation, well, it looked like this.
I mean, you can say, I mean, any of these companies that are, whether it's a Best Buy, Radio Shack, AT&T, Verizon, mm-hmm. any of the stores you go into, yeah, I'm sure any of them could have a discrimination against one brand or another. But to me, it's a failure on Microsoft's part and Nokia's part. Where's the phone to just display it in the store? When BlackBerry launched their new Z10, which is a huge mess too, but they put phones in the stores for employees to use, phones in the store for customers to use live demos, and they gave us the phones to display on the table so that they would sit right next to the Samsungs and the HTC. This is the phone you can buy. This is the price. It's an option on the table. There wasn't even an option to have the Windows phone on the table. So
that's something that phone companies will do, is they'll give you demo units so that you guys can get familiar with them and sell them to the customers. Yeah.
Yep.
So who else is giving you demo units?
Pretty much, demo units are pretty much always restricted to just the units that we have live in the store, and it's pretty much just any, whatever Best Buy or Radio Shack or wherever you go into. Most of the time, they'll have like one live iPhone and one live Samsung, or three live Samsungs, or whatever the case may be, or a live HTC, and for a couple months, we had a Windows phone, but it was the AT&T version was live in the store, and then they said, no, just put a fake plastic one up instead.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And that's only one of the models. All the other, none of the Nokias would they ever make a plastic model unit just to stick on the table next to every other brand to sit there. So
yeah, those fake models actually don't sell anything. I mean, it's pretty much useless to have a fake model sitting right there.
Well, so the thing is, in my store, and I think all the Radio Shacks are this way too, is all the phones are a fake model lined up on the display table. You have to go to the outside wall to look. So every phone gets a model that's a fake plastic model on the table. But if we don't even have the fake one, I mean,
yeah,
let alone a real one. I mean, yeah, I'll take a real one. But if I at least can I have a fake one? And, you know, if I have to, I can get one out and show the customer, whatever. But, I mean, I just can't see how Microsoft thinks that, and Nokia think they're going to sell a phone without even providing the phone in the store. So,
I think, go ahead, Eddie.
I was going to say, Kyle, I can understand where you're coming from. There's a Microsoft pop-up store where I live at, South Charlotte, and it's kind of hard to scream and yell out in the woods when no one's listening or no one's there saying how good a phone is or how you know, here's some of the features when Microsoft or Nokia is not even backing up the retail stores by giving phones or having a demo. I mean, some stores, to me it makes sense. If you want to push a phone, you want to give the phones out to the people that are going to sell them, have them try it out. Have them use it. And that way they can get an honest opinion if you like it or dislike it. But I really think, and I agree with you, Kyle, in the sense that, you know, Microsoft is doing themselves a disservice, and so is Nokia, by not getting these phones out and not, instead of having these nice, funny-looking commercials out there that get people's interest, but when you go into the store to say, I want to buy a Windows phone, you have none available.
Right. And none that you can actually pick up and try it.
Well,
put it in your hand and flip around and see what things look like. And I think if you don't have that, if you don't give the customers that, everybody knows what an iPhone is. So if they say the iPhone 6 is out, you know, people are just going to say, well, let me see what size you have. Okay, I'll take that. They don't even care because they already know what it's about. But nobody really knows what this Windows phone is about. And I think, you know, Microsoft has come late to the game, and they are trying to rectify that, but it seems like it's pretty painfully slow as a professed Microsoft guy myself. So it's tough to watch.
Oh, it is.
Now, Rich, you had a little bit of an advantage because you had my phone in your hand for half hour, 45 minutes maybe?
Yeah, I probably did.
So probably had more access to it than... and maybe take more time with it than you might have in the store, even if the store would have had one?
Well, I'm a pretty slow browser. So if I'm standing in front of the store, if I've got a phone in my hand and nobody else is like pushing to get it, I'm going to sit there and go through every setting on it. But yes, it was great to be able to do that. I will say again, there was nothing, you know, I didn't feel coerced into buying the Windows phone. I felt like, you know, it was the right thing to do. I just hadn't had it long enough to realize, you know, an hour going through things and noticing all the cool things about it.
Yeah.
But you don't get into doing all the little things like, where's the Dropbox app? Well, who cares? It's Jim's phone. You know, I'm not looking for it.
Well, but I think this is where it's different, and this is so I'm going to challenge this idea. And Kyle and Ed, I agree with you guys that it would be great that the store would get these things. But I think that until it's your phone, and I think this was your experience, Rich,
until it's
your phone, you own it, and you're setting up your stuff on it, I'm not sure the in-store experience is one. Because I've done this. I've gone down to the local Sprint store. I'm a Sprint customer. And they've got all these Sprint phones. You know, they've got all the live phones in the Sprint store. All of them are live. So you can test them all out, right? And so I pick up that Android phone, and I mess around with it, and I think, oh, I wonder what Google looks like. So first thing it wants me to do is log in. You think I'm going to put my Google account on a phone in a store? You're crazy, right? You know, from my standpoint, I'm always hesitant to really test the phones to their full capacity, because I'm not sure when I put that phone down, even though I log out and I do those other things, I'm not sure that I can trust that. You know, this is the way I feel, is I can't trust that walking away from that phone. So it makes it really, really difficult for me to even fully test in a store, even when they do have the hardware. I think there's some things that you only experience when you get that phone home and you're like, okay, now I'm like Dropbox, right? Like you said with Dropbox, hey, I'm actually going to try and connect to my Dropbox, and that's where maybe it kicks in. Kyle, you were shaking your head, So do you disagree with me on that?
No, I agree completely. I mean, I can't feel or get used to a phone until I'm putting my email account on there. You know, it's like, and I mean, like, my wife has a Galaxy Note 2, and I've held it or played with it or done something, but I haven't dug in and changed the settings to fit my needs. So, I mean, that's not a phone I've owned, you know, even though it's in the house with me every day, and if I wanted to test something once to see it, I probably could, but... It takes days, weeks. I mean, it can take.
Which is why they give you 14 days, right? Yeah, I mean, that's the genesis of the 14-day return policy is to be able to do that. I have to admit, you know, I'm a Galaxy S4 primary phone, and then I have the Lumia 520, and I bought the S4 sight unseen.
Yeah.
I mean, I went into the store, said I'll take the S4. And now I had been an S2 user, so I kind of knew. But so, you know, again, the hands-on experience in the store, I didn't even take it. It was I didn't even go look. I kind of was like, okay, I'm expecting it to work like this. And there's some kind of sideways, wonky things that work with the S4 that kind of go, you know. But it's my phone. And so I'm like, well, you know, I'll have to work around it at this point.
Agree with you, Jim, on that one myself. Yeah. I mean, I looked and researched for an S4, read all the reviews. I bought it when it first came out. You had asked me if I got a 16 or a 32 gig. I got the 32 gig model. The 16 gig originally came out. A week later, the 32 gig came out. And, of course, one of the biggest issues, of course, with the S4 is all the apps that they put on there clog up your internal memory. So 16 gigs, I think you had like 8, maybe 9 gigs available free to do whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. So after a week, Samsung came out with a 32 gig version. Bam, I went back to store, turned it in, gave me a 32 gig version. Quite happy with it.
Yes. So I was looking at my S4, and the first thing I noticed is, you know, Jim, you and I went back and forth about this a little bit. And I was telling you that I just spent, you know, the last hour or two disabling about 38 Samsung and other type apps, but probably about a good third of those were Samsung apps that had Samsung in their name. You know, Samsung, I don't know. I don't know what they were. But
little helpful ones.
Yeah, little helpful ones. If you sign up into the Samsung account, right? So let me ask you. You bought the phone and you use it straight up as it came out of the box. Did you sign up and create a Samsung account, or are you basically?
No? Oh, I think I signed in once because I had one the last time, but I didn't use those apps. I mean, I don't really. There's really just a handful of apps that I use that I download, and I don't. You know, I'm a weird user, Rich, because I really do very little modification on my phone. I don't spend a lot of time on it. I don't load movies or music I'm an Amazon guy for my music. I stream Pandora most of the time anyways. I only store 3 podcasts at a time using, you know, my Podcatcher. Right. I've never run out of memory on my phone. I mean, I try to keep it as close to base as possible because I don't want to be, you know, you can, this is the argument you and I were having, not argument, but the discussion you and I were having back and forth.
Yeah, right.
The drawback to the Samsung phone, there's 4 billion options on there to do stuff. I mean, Kyle, you've got to run into customers who come flying back in with an Android phone and go, tell me how to, you know, where do I find the option to do this, right? I mean, is that kind of the user experience? You muted again, Kyle, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's becoming a lot more less common, I think. I think when it was new, that definitely happened. I mean, I think all those, it's kind of all those extra settings, they can just stay hidden. If the customer doesn't need them, they just ignore them and move on. So it doesn't, you know, some people are all like, well, I'm too afraid of my phone being complicated. Well, don't touch that setting. And
don't look at the settings then.
It sounds like a smart, you know, wise guy answer, but it's really not. It's the right answer. You know, stop thinking about it. You're not going to care about it as soon as you stop thinking about it. I mean, it's not going to be something that's going to pop up again for you. Get it. Yeah.
So I had this incredible revelation last night. So we were out at this grand opening party, and somebody pulled me aside and said, hey, you know, you're the tech guy. Should I go with a Windows phone or an Android phone? And I had to chuckle because we're having these conversations about this, right? We're getting in depth. So I said, hey, I happen to have both because I carry both of them with me. I happen to have both. Let me just do a hands-on demo with you of both of them, right? So I pulled out the phone, and first she says, ooh, that's kind of, you know, I pulled out the 520. She's like, oh, that's kind of small. I said, well, don't, they make bigger ones, right? But so this is just the small, cheap one, right? So we were going through it, and the mail and the, you know, the calendar and some, those are the features that were important to her. And she was like, wow, boy, there's just not a lot. That's really different, right? I mean, the new mail app on the Microsoft device is a departure from like if you use Outlook, and she is a heavy Outlook user. I mean, heavy, right? So I said, okay, well, that's, so we went through that for about 10 or 15 minutes and I showed all the options. I went on the Android phone and I pulled up the native Android app for mail, and this is the very first time I realized it's Outlook. It is a mobile version of Outlook, and the way it looks, the way it organizes mail, in the structure of it, the way things are laid out. She said, unprompted, oh, that looks like my Outlook. And I was like, are you kidding me? has you know, the company that made Outlook has moved away from it, and Android has kind of stepped in their mail app. And honestly, the calendar app is the exact same way. If you look at the calendar app that's native to Android on the version I have, whatever that is, Kyle, 4.3 Jelly Bean, I think, is what's on the S4. Is that right?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. I think you might be at 4.2, but you're probably using a Samsung version of
it
anyway. So everything you have is the Samsung version.
You might be right. You might be right on that as well. Yeah. So say I'm using that Samsung version. It looks a lot like the Outlook that she is used to and the way the mail is organized. And she said at the end, I'm going to go with Android because it looks the closest, you know, in this layout here, it looks the closest to what she wanted. And it was just the oddest, it was, for me, it was the oddest moment, right? I mean, I didn't influence her in any way. I didn't say, this is better. I just showed her at that point. And it was just, to me, it was weird how that UI is so similar to the very heavy Outlook client.
Man, that's crazy to me because, I mean, and just in my experience using the mail clients, I mean, I think that almost any built-in email client on Android is just terrible. I mean, in my opinion, syncing slow and just not. I had iPhone. The mail client was great, no problems. I have Windows Phone. The Mail client is great, built in, no problems. The Gmail app on Android, fine, I can handle that. The Outlook.com app on Android, I can handle that. The built-in client, whether you're talking Samsung, HTC, LG, I just find them to be very. I don't like them. And
yeah.
And so many people, like my boss that has his corporate exchange account, is just frustrating and not the experience. And my experience on Windows Phone with the email is just awesome. I mean, it searches fantastic. It's fast. I mean, push email is instantaneous. It might look like your Outlook, but I don't think it's going to perform like your Outlook, even close. So
well,
maybe
she wanted comfort, though, right?
Yeah,
I mean, this is for the end user. They want familiarity, right?
Yeah,
they don't
I mean, my wife has the built-in email client on her Note 2, Samsung, looking exactly like your phone, and she's not at it. An advanced user for email, so it doesn't. I mean, it's never phased her that it might not be as 100% as good as the experience I have or something. If I was had that, I would instantly get rid of that client. But she's not a. Doesn't matter. It's just her email and it works. So.
Yeah. Well, that's what it comes down to, though, right? I mean, ultimately, it's the user experience that matters, and we all come at it from a different. Perspective. Rich, you and I had that conversation last week on Thursday during Home Tech, and you were saying all these things, and I said, Rich, what you're talking about is very specialized use. The average user isn't doing these things, you know, and that's why it's I'm getting more and more cautious when I talk about these things to make sure I say in my experience or the way I like it, right? Because it's you know, it's so different for everybody.
Yeah, and I thought you were defending the Windows Phone. I thought you were like, okay, want to make sure Rich doesn't stomp on the Windows Phone because we don't want to alienate any Windows Phone users. And you know, honestly, nothing could be further from the truth for me. I don't want to alienate the Windows Phone users, but I do want to say something to Microsoft. It's like, yeah, I get it that you have come late to the game and now you're catching up, you know. I still don't excuse you. You've got the resources to pull in, you know, four people like us who have a pretty good idea of what kind of things that the average users and tech people would use. You can argue that, but you take my point. And for them to have somebody driving this and saying, let's get away from that email client that looks like Outlook. Let's not include screen lock, you know, rotation lock. Let's box out Dropbox because we've got SkyDrive and we want to make them go to SkyDrive. You know, whether they're having that conversation or not, I think it's irrelevant. The point is, that's what they produced. And it's a head shaker for me. So, you know, I'll wait for them to catch up, you know. But I will say they've got to move, and they got to move fast, because if they really seriously, and you know, and you said that, you know, they
got to disagree with that statement, Rich.
You don't.
No, see, I think you're still saying one thing out of one side, and then saying another thing out of the other. In that they are selling, there is an audience that they're selling to that they can be very successful with, and they don't have to change a single thing that you don't like.
Yeah.
So what I want to hear you say, and why I said I totally disagree with you, is I want to hear you say, for me, and I know you just said that, but for me it's that way.
Yeah.
But there's an audience that doesn't care about screen rotation, and they don't care if the Skype doesn't have voice to text, and they don't. I mean, they don't. The gal I was talking to last night, none of those things mattered to her, right?
Yeah.
She had a completely different set of objectives, right?
Yeah.
She's looking at something completely different.
Yeah.
And
well,
so
the screen rotation thing came home to me today, because you're right about that. Because I was at my brother's house, and you know, I told him one of the things was screen rotation. He goes, huh? I says, what do you got for a phone? He says, an iPhone 3G, or maybe 3GS, whatever it was. He says, how do you lock the screen? I says, are you kidding? I says, here, let me show you. He says, because I says, yeah, don't you hate it when you lay down and the screen would lock on you? But, you know, you don't have that problem. He goes, yeah, I do hate it. What? So I showed him, you know, how to lock it on his iPhone. You know, and this guy is not, he's not a non-techie guy. He's an entrepreneur. He's got his own point-of-sale system. He wrote it from scratch, you know. Very, very smart guy. But he doesn't care about a phone other than to pick it up, answer it, maybe, you know, send a text message if he has to. He's not viewing YouTube on there. Maybe he does a couple of other specialized things. He actually created a couple of apps for him to use, but when he's playing, it's a lyrics app, and he's a musician, so he uses it to pull up lyrics. But you know, point taken. Okay, so you win that point as far as the, you know, yes, yeah. Go ahead.
It's just one of those things. I think as tech people, we have to just be really, really careful, especially when we're working with other people, that we don't bring our own biases. And this is the hardest part. And Kyle, I don't know how you do that at Best Buy, because your job is to really kind of be unbiased, but it's hard, right? I mean, you know,
it is really hard. But literally, I mean, we have hours of training on the process of doing that and walking through people. So, you know, that's the thing. A lot of times, somebody will come in. Well, my friend told me to get this phone, and we're like, well, your friend told you to buy that phone because that's how they use the phone. We're trying to find out a phone that's going to be the best one for you. So yeah, it's so personalized, especially, I mean, phones probably more than tablets or computers or anything else. So it's tough, but yeah.
Well, I had one more argument about that, Jim. And that is, you know, as tech guys, right? As us four tech guys, people come to us and they say, you know, fix my computer. What computer should I buy? What phone should I buy? And, you know, so I'm saying to Microsoft and anybody else who would have my business and would want me to recommend them, you know, come up with these things. Now, these are not things that are obscure. You know, with the exception, and I'll give it an exception, although I'm rolling my eyes, I just did that for you, on the no microphone in the Skype app, which Microsoft owns, but yet they don't have a microphone for voice to text. Fine, we'll let them roll on that one. We'll let them fly on that one. But you know, they've got to be able to lock their screen, and then I'll keep that phone, and then I'll say to somebody, which phone should I buy? You should buy this Windows phone, because it's going to cost you nothing, because they're trying to get them in people's hands, and it's awesome, and here's all the things that's awesome about it. And I might still be able to do that, but not with the conviction I would be able to, because you know, I kind of disagree about the rotation thing. You know, I'm a little surprised about my brother. He put up with it. But, you know, I bet a lot of people would be like, oh, I don't like this. How come your iPhone doesn't flip, but my phone doesn't stop flipping? You know, it's not like people don't have friends with iPhones. So, go ahead. You were going to say something.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Well, so, I hear all your points there, and Jim, I agree with you 100% that we as technicians, we have to take a non-biased point in this, and I'm in the same boat. I get people to come to me on a daily basis, because, again, I work in IT, and I also consult on the side, that says, hey, Ed, I want to buy a computer. I want to buy the phone. Then I have to go into, like Kyle does, pretty much. You got to go into 20 questions. Okay, well, what do you want like to use your phone with? How much do you want to spend? And so forth and so on. And a lot of people just don't have a clue. They go in there, I want to buy this phone because my friend has one. And if you look out in the public like I do, and I try to do this if I'm at some sort of a social function and so forth, what are people using most? A lot of people are using the iPhone. So again, when people are going to go into the store, going to go see a person like a Kyle over here that goes into Best Buy, what are they going to want? They're going to get an iPhone. You know, they may ask about a Windows phone, but again, a lot of iPhone's already been out in the market for about 5 years, and that's what a lot of people are using. It's nice to get people to go and use a Windows phone. I try to convince them myself, but it's based upon what their use is. What are they going to use a phone with? You know, what kind of are they going to use for web-based or email? You know, surf the web and so forth. It's a tough road to draw, and it's hard not to put your bias in there to say, well, I prefer this because here's the reasons why.
Kyle, how do you work with customers when – so Rich, one of the arguments you said is the Windows Phone was great because it was free, and you went with the S4, and it's not free in the sense that you paid mm-hmm. some money for it. But you could have picked up an S3, and it would have been free in mm-hmm. most cases, right? So that it's just using that argument, that's just as awesome of a phone in the sense that it was free, right? If you can get a Windows Phone for free and it's awesome – you could get an S3 and it's free. It should be awesome too. Kyle, when you are working with customers on that idea of the amount, that small amount of money that they pay, that's really not even the true cost of the phone. How do you deal with that with most customers? Because it's, you know, $50 or $199 or whatever. How do you work that through?
Well, I mean, it really depends on their budget, I think, but. I think it was a
their
lot harder
on that day, right?
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I think probably, I mean, all of us, if we wanted to, we would have the extra money to spend on something. But some of these people, I mean, half the people in America buying phones, like that's their whole paycheck, you know, and then they're not going to, they're spending every penny, you know? So, and that's it. And then that, you know, they're, so a lot of the people that, at least in my market, and all the three different stores I'm working at, is paycheck to paycheck. So there is like a literal actual budget, and that's it. You know, and there's no more. So that's an issue. But I mean, I think it's fantastic now because they can say, "I have a dollar," and I'm like, "Great, I have a dollar phone. It's not the best phone, but I mean, I have a dollar phone. That's a good phone. I mean, we've a Motorola Atrix HD, you know, on an AT&T or Verizon, I don't think Verizon has one right now, but a Samsung Galaxy S3 for $50 on Verizon Sprint has like the HTC Evo and the LG Optimus G. I mean, the Optimus G is like 9 months old and it's a dollar, you know. So it's fantastic with all these Android phones having price points. Dollar phone, $50 phone, $100 phone, $200 phone, and I think maybe a year or two ago, pretty much you had to buy the $200 phone to get a halfway decent phone. But now, I mean, you can get a Galaxy S3 for $50 and have an awesome phone, just like you were saying. And not only that, but you know, it's not only the cost of your phone, but what else are you going to do with your phone? Do you want a cool case for your phone? Do you want a Bluetooth speaker with it? I just picked up, this is like my new favorite gadget, Bluetooth speaker, that I use this all the time. You know, what else, you know, if you have a Galaxy S3 and a Bluetooth speaker, maybe your phone is cooler than the S4 by itself, you know, because you don't have the music experience or whatever. So there's so many, or even some people are looking at between a dollar phone and a $200 phone. That's a tablet these days, you know. So what else are you doing with that extra money? And we couldn't really have that conversation like 2 years ago because to get a good phone, you had to buy the top end one. Last year's model was terrible. So it's having all those price points is key, and that's awesome to be able to give you. You can still get a good phone for a dollar. So, is that answer the question?
Yeah, you know, I guess the real question is, if we paid full price for phones, would anybody actually buy them? Right.
Yeah. Because, well,
you know, right. I mean, to what you're saying, right? We are kind of sucked into this.
Yeah.
This model of, I mean, it's not a dollar, or it's not even $50, right? That you replace that Galaxy S3, it's a $550 or $600 phone.
Yeah. Well, and that's, yeah, I mean, I mean, it probably for, can, I don't know whether it would be better or not, but, I mean, think about laptops and tablets, though. We just keep pushing the price down, 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 right. down, and, right. and, but, and we make those affordable at some level. I mean, think about tablets. I mean, an iPad is cheaper than a phone. How does that make sense at full cost? You know, like right. even the 4G LTE one is cheaper retail, full price. So it's like, what's going on here? So the contracts definitely inflate the cost of the phones if we were all paying regular retail. I mean, it would basically be what you see on the no contract side, where a Galaxy S4 is $400 or a Galaxy S3 is $400 on contract versus $50 off contract, or
the other way
around. $400
yeah.
off contract,
yep.
$50 on contract.
Okay.
And that's what we would see. I think that's the going price for one of those phones if we didn't have this ridiculously inflated market, and it would be a total shift. And you can argue pros and cons either way about whether you like that shift or not, but for right now the prices are inflated and it's kind of absurd. But
so, Rich, would you have bought that Windows phone if you had to pay $100 on the spot?
No, probably not. I would have probably bought the 520 and not gotten into a contract, you know.
Although you would have had the same shortcomings on the 520 that you have.
But the 520, it would have been used like an iPod,
right.
you know, like a Zune or some other portable media device. And I would use it as my navigation, you know,
yeah,
device.
Because the navigation is awesome.
Yeah, it is right. awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It's a good navigator of that phone.
Yeah. So does anybody want to hear my experience of what it takes to return a Windows, Lumia 928?
Talk through that, because I think there's a lesson learned there.
Okay, lesson learned is, if you're going to buy something from the Microsoft Store, make sure you don't plan on returning it within the 14-day period, you know, to get your money back or trade it out. This is what happened to Rich. I bought that 928 last Saturday. I hung with it until yesterday. Friday, I went to the Verizon store and says, I think I'm going to bring my phone back. Is it true? The 14-day, you know, just bring the phone back, tear up the contract. Yes, it is. Okay. So I bought this phone when I was in Indianapolis. Oh, that's fine. Yeah, I bought it at a Microsoft store, and the brakes, they screeched to a halt. They said, no, you know what? I'm so sorry, but you're going to have to take that back to the Microsoft store. And I'm thinking, Indianapolis is a little bit far for a guy from Maine to just mosey on over. Am I going to eat this phone? So, hey, can I take this back to another Microsoft store? Yes. How about Burlington? Fine. That's Burlington, Mass., 2 hours away. So yesterday I got in my little car, and I drove down there, and I put it down on the counter. I said, I bought this phone in Indy last week, and I'd like to give it back. Here's my receipt. Here's my Verizon contract. What can we do here? No problem, sir. Let's do it. Oh, so I'll tell you really quick that it wasn't that easy. It took 2 hours before I walked out of the mall. What happened in the meantime is that it took them a while to figure out that while they could take physical possession of it, Indianapolis, the Microsoft store in Indianapolis, actually had to process the return. And that took a lot of back and forth. You know, very patient people. I will tell, first of all, I will say, everybody was as nice as could be. everybody was very patient. They kept apologizing, and I says, you know, hey, look, you know, it's you guys are awesome. You know, it's kind of a funky process, but you guys are figuring it out, and you will get me squared away, and just keep going, and thank you. And so they took it back, finally. About an hour and a half into this whole thing, they took it back. They finally took possession of it, said, fine, you know, now Verizon knows that the phone has been reclaimed, and they will let you go ahead and cancel that contract. And I said, so, you know, so go ahead and cancel it. Since I signed up at your store, you know, you can cancel it for me. And they says, oh, no, we can't. I'm sorry, we can't do that here. You know, you have to go over to the Verizon store, call them, and tell them you want to cancel. So I thanked them, and I walked up the mall and walked over to around the corner, and I found the Verizon store. And I told the Verizon, I think I ended up with maybe the manager, shift manager or whatever. And he says, oh, well, those guys have to, you know, they take the phone back and then they call Verizon. I says, they just said that about you. I says, one of you guys will probably end up accommodating me here today before I go home. But I don't know what, you know, I don't know which one of you is going to be that person. He says, hang on. About 10 minutes later, after he's looking at the paperwork and going back and forth with another guy, he says, come on. And he walked with me over to the Microsoft store and shook hands with the Microsoft guys. And they went on, talked back and forth very civilly, very politely, just trying to get to the facts. And about another 20 minutes or so from that point, I finally walked out of the store, and Verizon actually took the phone contract and canceled it themselves. 2 hours. I estimated probably, with all the people involved, it was probably a good 5 man hours of time to receive a phone back. And I'm thinking, if you have to do this a lot, you guys are definitely going broke. I didn't say that to them, but you know, I thanked them all. They all felt, you know, like, gee, we're sorry. I said, no, you guys were very cool. You know, I could see it was a crazy process. Lesson was, you know, if you buy it from a Microsoft store, hopefully it's in your hometown and not 2 hours away, at least the nearest one, and definitely not in Indianapolis, you know, because I can't spend like $400 for a ticket to fly out and back to return a $499 phone. So, it was quite something, and I just, you know, you could get mad about that, and I was just laughing. I mean, not laughing really loud outside, but I was just kind of chuckling to myself inside going, oh my God, what a mess. Microsoft, you're trying to sell phones again. You know, Verizon's probably not helping you. I don't know how this is happening. Kyle might have an idea why this is happening. But, you know, crazy. So my advice to you is go to Best Buy if you want a phone, you know, or at least go to one of the local phone stores, AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, you know, T-Mobile, and get your phone there. But I don't know. What do you do, you know?
Kyle, what do you think on that? I mean, you're the guy in the industry. How's that work on your side?
I mean, that's just part of the process, and I'm probably guessing those Microsoft employees have never had to do that before, you know? I mean, that's just... That would be the same anywhere. What was it new? Now, I think fortunately, I mean, for me, I've done that many times, and I think most Best Buys and most stores in the country, whether Radio Shacks or whoever, are probably pretty familiar with the process. And the other thing is too, if you were buying it from any other store, they could have just done an exchange, since Microsoft's not going to sell you the Galaxy S4, right? So they don't stock the Samsungs, which would have made it way easier. Then you don't even have to reverse the contract. It's just an exchange, and it's done, right? So, but yes, it is. And then, anywhere you buy a phone, you have to return it to the place. If you buy it from Walmart, Target, Sam's Club, Best Buy, you have to return it to that location. And then, since they're all third parties, they have to use the computer or call in or whatever and reverse the contract. Mm-hmm. And then it also depends on whether you were a new customer or there's an existing account involved or whether you just upgraded your existing
one. There was an existing account involved. Right. And I said to those guys, I says, I can't leave this store until I am free and clear of my girlfriend's contract, because she won't open the door when I come home.
Yeah.
She is definitely not going to be one happy woman if I don't get it back to square one, which they did. But Kyle?
It would have been, it actually, in your situation, it sounded like you added a new line to her account. So that's actually one of the easier situations. It would have probably been more of a mess if you had started it brand new, because then... Well, because then if you wanted to stay with Verizon, if you had returned it to the Microsoft store and they had canceled your line right then, since that was the last line on the account, that account would have been completely deactivated, and then it might have taken you maybe Verizon could figure out a way to fix it with doing that, but sometimes if you cancel the last line on the account, since that cancels the account as well, then to start up a new account would take 60 days of waiting period. So what you would have had to done is, before you returned it.
You're saying I'm so lucky that it worked out just like it did. Oh my God.
Sounds that way.
Yeah, you would have had to, before returning it to Microsoft, you would have had to buy the new S4 from Verizon, then take it back to Microsoft. So yeah, it's a long process, but yeah, the store associates, they should know there's a process involved where they either in the computer or over the phone, they can call the dealer or they're a third party dealer, so they can call in and reverse all of those things. And you know, like I said, obviously it can be a very, you know, and it just depends on if the computers are working that day, and it can be a mess. But you know, once they, you know, the next guy that they have do this, it might only take them half an hour next time. So
I'm sure it will. I'm sure they all sat there and wrote it all down, because we never ever want to take 2 hours to return a phone again.
Kyle, yeah, I think you said good something point. Important in there, and that to buy that locally. And I know you and I had some conversations when I was looking at upgrading my phone, and you were feeding me some information about some deals and what was going on and some of those kinds of things. And I was like, can you just take care of this for me? And you're like, no, you should really go to the local store there. That's that you're going to get the best service. And if something ever goes wrong, you know, you can deal with the local store. And so we did our local store here. And I've actually, I've actually used Best Buy the last, I think, 4 or 5 times, and I've used them all for my kids, and I've really enjoyed the experience. It's worked out really well for me. Those, in fact, this last experience was in a store like yours, right? I think you're in a mall. What do you guys call those stores?
We call them Best Buy Mobile Specialty Stores.
Mobile Specialty, yeah. And those guys were sharp. They were right on it. We got in there. We actually traded in Sarah's iPhone, and I turned in the Lumia 900. And they gave us some really good credit for them. As you can just hear, the Windows phone just popped in with a message. Rich just sent me on Skype. And had a great experience. They took care of everything, and bam, we were in and out of there. And now it still took like an hour, right? I mean, you think 2 phones, trade-ins, setup, transferring data. I mean, all those things, especially because we were taking data off Sarah's iPhone and moving it onto a Android device. That took some time. So I think, Rich, like you said, I think you need to set yourself up before you go in that this is going to take a little while, and you're not going to get frustrated and go irate like that person did in the Apple store. There's that video out there of that person just losing it. You got to be ready, right, when you're going in to kind of be like, okay, this is going to take a little time. And then buy local, I think, is the good advice that Kyle gives us, is make sure that store is accessible and is easy.
Well, Jim, I think you bring up a good point there. Kyle, how many come into your store or come in there to switch from an iPhone to an Android phone, or from an Android to an iPhone? And
Ed, one sec. Is that just me, or was...
No, Ed.
That was everybody.
There I am. Okay. Sorry about that.
No, you're good. We're hearing you. You've become a Cylon. Is what you become.
Really bad.
Do me a favor. Drop out and come back into the Hangout for us.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds good. That's the first time I've heard that happen in a Google Hangout where the Cylons come on.
I'm stunned.
That was pretty creepy.
It was creepy, but kind of cool at the same time.
Ed, you know how to just drop out and come back in. Just hang up. Just hang up and then rejoin the call.
I gotcha.
Perfect. Sure. We'll see you in a minute. All right.
And don't talk while you're doing it.
I think it's kind of cool.
It's really funky. What the heck is that? Yeah. You know, I you know, really, honestly, I got to play with the Windows Phone for a week. You know, it was a little bit more of a process to get it returned than I wanted, but I just took it with a grain of salt, and everybody was very cool, and I was cool, and we got it done. You know, and these things happen, and I understand that. So,
yeah. I think, and well, Eddie adds himself about 100 times to this.
Yeah,
call.
I'm really not sure what he's doing here, but
and so, Rich, let me again ask you why you Google Plus or having Hangouts on your phone was such a big deal. Look how good it is right now. I'm just joking.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's flawless. Well, you know, you call me sometime, or I've called you from work, you know, and I'll just jump on my phone. I've called other people from work. I don't do it all the time.
Right, right.
But I like having the option, and I don't want to run to go find my laptop. I've got my phone right here. It doesn't have to be perfect. I just need to communicate a few things.
It's the same with Dropbox.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, okay. I disagree with you on Dropbox, but on the Google Plus, I get it. And Dave said something to me. You know, Dave McKay said something to me. He goes, when we were talking about this, he goes, it is tough to get into the Windows ecosystem if you're a Google guy. I mean, it just is. It's one of those deals that if you're going to go, and this is kind of what I was saying to you on Thursday night, mm-hmm. if you're going to go with a Windows phone, you have to accept some ecosystem differences. Much like if you're going to go a Kindle Fire versus the Nexus 7. We just had this discussion on Facebook today on the Facebook page. And that Kindle Fire is designed to keep you inside the Amazon ecosystem.
The
Nexus 7, you don't have any access to the ecosystem that is, right? I am all in on Amazon. So for me, to be able to stream Prime movies and get access to my music on there, that's what I'm looking for. So it makes some sense to me to go that route. So the point I was trying to make to you on Thursday, and Kyle, I want to hear your opinion on this as well, is I wanted to say, Rich, if you're going to, because if I bought a phone and I bought a 1020, the camera is enough to push me over the edge that I'm going to go completely Microsoft on my phone. I'm going to figure out how to make my ecosystem work, because the benefits of
Camera's
the camera,
insane.
The benefits of the camera and the it's all fantastic. The other things we like about it would force me. Oh, there he is. Would force me to make a change in my habits, right? Kyle, what do you think about that? As you think, you know, those ecosystems are different from your point of view. I mean, when customers make a choice on phone, right, they got to kind of choose an ecosystem, right? Even the iPhone's got its own ecosystem. The Google has its own ecosystem, and Windows does. What do you think about that?
I mean the number of people interested or considering or buying Windows phones is so ridiculously small that conversation very rarely comes up. And honestly, Android and iPhone are so close on ecosystem because Google just is Google just uses the iPhone as another piece of hardware. And really, the number one ecosystem, I think, probably more than any other thing, is just Apple iMessage. I mean, that locks so many people in because all my friends use iMessage, and a lot of times it's with kids because they're like, well, at our school we get no cell phone reception. Every kid in the school has iMessage, and so we use our Wi-Fi and we send our text messages over that. And iMessage is really the big, and they're like, well, I have to see read receipts so I know if they're ignoring me, and you know, so. Mm-hmm. You know, so Apple iMessage is, I mean, it's the new BlackBerry Messenger, even bigger, you know, and that is the number one lock-in on iPhone right now. Anytime, you know, when people are looking at Windows phones, and we're selling the 521, which is the T-Mobile version, you know, I'm telling them, your web browser is going to be better, your email is going to be better, your screen is going to be better, your battery is going to be better, your camera is going to be better compared to these other $100 Android phones. But that whatever that little app is that you play with your friends, it's probably not there, you know?
Yeah, a friend of mine said, because I was showing her, she cracked the screen on her S3. I mean, it is destroyed, right? Yep. She was like, it's $125 for me to get this thing replaced or whatever, the screen replaced. She's and the phone still kind of works. You know, it's like that commercial where the person's got the Band-Aids on all the things, right? Mm. So I said, well, hey, you got to look at this 520, right? And so I showed it to her. I said, $99 off contract. You can add it or, you know, whatever. And she was like, does it have Candy Crush? And I'm like, I don't know. It was down to Candy Crush.
Yep.
It's like, are you kidding me? You're making a phone decision on whether you can get Candy Crush or not. And yeah, she absolutely was.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Ed's back. Let's get a quick sound check on you, Ed, because
we
want
to
hear you're back. So what did you want to say in that before you turn into a Cylon?
Well, I guess one of the questions is the point Rich made, which is, hey, he went in to turn a phone, and he had a lot of problems turning it in and so forth, or actually getting a phone. Or exchanging it. I guess my question is to Kyle. Kyle, I mean, have you had people frustrated because of the fact it took a while to switch from an iPhone to an Android or Android to an iPhone? It just took so long to switch all the data over?
It's not really – it depends on what you mean by that. I mean, it's not really about the data. I mean, we have a machine where you can plug both phones in and transfer it. Now, is that machine going to work every time? No, but and a lot of times people are like, well, I have 12,000 pictures in there of my grandbaby and I can't lose them. And did you back those up? No. Have you ever heard of iCloud? No. Have you heard of iTunes backup? No. Have you heard of Dropbox? No. Do you know your passwords? No. those are about 50% of my conversations. And, I mean, we literally have sheets now that we hand people that say, this is 5 steps. The Geek Squad produced this form. 5 steps on how to back up Android. 5 steps on how to back up iPhone. And they want us to transfer all of that data to their new phone. I'm like, oh, that's going to take 3 hours, you know. And so, I mean, maybe you can specify more with your question, like what aspect of it?
I guess in a sense of what are people's expectations when they go in and they want to switch because they want the latest phone but they want an Android phone? I mean, have you had people come in here and say it's taking too long to switch over my data because I have, like you said right there, hey, I've got pictures that need to transfer over, contacts need to transfer mm-hmm. over and so forth?
That specific part of them saying, well, all my data is in iPhone and it will take too long to switch to Android isn't an issue because those people have it backed up their iPhone, so it would take just as long to transfer to another iPhone. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my personal experience, Rich, was quite different. Kyle, Jim, I agree with you 100%. I went to an AT&T store. I said, hook me up, get me an S4. I originally bought a 16 gig. A week later, Samsung, in their great wisdom, said, hey, we're coming out with a 32 gig. Went back to the store, paid restocking fee. Forgot how much it was. It was nominal. Paid restocking fee, turned in my phone, got me a 32 gig Samsung S4 out the door. Easy peasy, nice and easy. No problems at all.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think we should wrap this up.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming out, guys. I appreciate your input. Kyle, it was great to have you. I met you at the meetup. We talked a little bit, but you're the man to talk to if we want to know anything about phones in the last 4 or 5 years, right?
Yeah. Yep, thanks for inviting me. This was awesome. So.
Yeah, it was good to test out your mic, too.
Yeah, where'd you get that mic, by the way?
David McCabe.
Dave McCabe. I think I know that name. Yes, sir.
That's awesome. Right.
Hey, Eddie, thank you.
Hey, Rich, anytime. Like I said, I hope you have more podcasts out there. More than happy to join whenever you want me on, buddy.
Okay, sounds good. Jim, my partner, you want to wrap it up?
Should we wrap it? We should
wrap it, yeah.
Yeah, let's wrap it. We'll remind folks that Rich's Random Podcast is available. All the show notes are available, are going to be available for this podcast at theaverageguy.tv. You can just find that. Actually, you can find all of Rich's Random Podcast. Just up in the menu, go to Tag Podcast, drop that down, and find Rich's Random Podcast Generator. And we've got some interesting ones, Rich. This is not your standard podcast. First of all, we just make this stuff up as we go along. There's no regular schedule with it. But we've got some good interviews on there, so you might want to go back. And if this is your first time listening to it, you might want to go back and listen to some of the other content as well. As I mentioned in the beginning of the show, we have these shows available on Stitcher. And so you head out to Stitcher.com. If maybe you're new to podcasting, you're looking for an easy way to listen to the show on your brand new phone. If you download the Stitcher app, it's available for both Android and iPhone as well, and you can search for Rich's Random. That's all you need. It'll bring up in the app, and then you can just set it and schedule it to watch it whenever it comes out, and it's available at Stitcher.com. We say it's education for your ears. And just a reminder as well, we do the Home Tech Podcast, more tech stuff, every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, over at theaverageguy.tv/live, and have a good time out there. You can join us on the Facebook page, theaverageguy.tv/Facebook. If you want to catch us in our Google group, you can go to theaverageguy.tv/Google. And remember, if you're purchasing through Amazon, and we turn those Amazon dollars back around into scholarship, oh, this will be a good segue into some scholarship opportunities. So we call it the Tech Scholarship. Actually, Kyle was a recipient of one of those devices. He's got a little Android PC device that we've posted all the information, a couple posts about it out at theaverageguy.tv, and so Kyle was the recipient of one of those, and actually we're going to do, Kyle and I are going to get together again probably maybe next weekend, I think, and talk through his posts about that. And so if you're interested in doing that, just follow us out at theaverageguy.tv. Kyle, you still liking that that little device? Is it doing what you want it to do?
It's hard for me to evaluate because I bought it to test it to see if it would work for an eighth grader, and I'm not an eighth grader, so the real test, and I said this in the articles, the real test is when I pass it on to my brother and I see whether he sits down and uses it for homework while my parents are using the one desktop in the house. Is he going to find that as a useful alternative instead of buying whatever it would cost to get a desktop laptop? To have him have a second way to work on his homework, so awesome. That will be the real test. But
well, we'll have some more information as you and I do an audio podcast around that next week, and I'm looking forward to hearing that as well. Rich, thanks again for contacting me this morning and saying, "Hey, we really need to talk about this thing."